I want to take as our text this morning, verse number 5 of this chapter which we read together. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, when we consider the text in which we have just read together, we are drawn naturally to the subject of prayer. And what prayerless lives to many in the professing church of Jesus Christ even live today. You know how easy it is for us to make time for so many things in our busy schedules. We can make time for this, that, and the other thing. We can make time for all sorts of things. But yet, prayer often falls to the bottom of the list in priorities. Luke tells us in his gospel, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But friends, today have many not fainted? Have many not fainted when it comes to the subject of prayer? Given up on prayer. And yet they have the audacity to complain when circumstances and problems and difficulties arrive within their life. Oh, where is God? Or where is His help? Or how has this happened to me? And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Maker of heaven and earth, has promised to ask, or to bless rather all who ask. Friends, today, you know, the rebuke is to each and every one of us, right from the pulpit here to the pew. Ye have not, because ye ask not. And you know, friends, if we haven't time to ask, then we can expect to do without. Prayer is that most vital breath available to every believer. And it's not only that, but it's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful privilege to come to pray to our Saviour. The Saviour himself says in John's Gospel 16, in the verse 24, ye ask nothing in my name. Prayer is a tool which is often neglected, a weapon which is often overlooked when we seek to engage in the war against the evil one, even as we go out through our daily lives. You know, we are working away, great organizers, planning our day, and things don't always work out as we have expected, and we hit a bump on the road. We look to so many others to help, but when did you ever just stop and pray about it? Stop and seek the Lord's voice, or His help for the situation. You know, we are commanded to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. There are many questions which come to mind, you know, when we think of the subject of prayer. When we consider prayer, you know, we ask the question perhaps, why pray? What's the value of prayer? Or why pray if the Lord's going to work all things out anyway after the counsel of His own will? However, as the Lord enables this morning, I would like us to consider for some time this morning, how should we pray? How should we pray? You know, it may seem like an elementary or a simplistic question for one to address or for one to ask. And my purpose this morning is not in any way to insult your intelligence, but rather to highlight and bring before you this morning once more the importance of prayer. You know, our text here says before us, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. How then should we pray? How then should we be found praying? I suggest to you men and women, young people this morning, we should be found praying with purpose. Praying with purpose. When we consider this portion before us, we see clearly the purpose of the prayer which was being offered to God was this. John's brother James had been murdered, and by the sword of Herod there, as we read there in our opening verse. And they desired also to do the same with Peter. And it was during the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Herod had captured Peter. He had him thrown into prison with that intention of bringing him out after the Passover before the people. And hence the church was meeting together to pray. Pray with purpose. Praying for one of their number, namely Peter. And we, when we consider the word prison as it is used here in the portion before us, it carries with it the sense in the originals of one being under guard. Other places throughout Scripture, reference is made to being cast into prison. Or with regard to John over in Matthew 4 and the verse 12. There are other passages of Scripture where the word prison is mentioned carries the sense of one being bound or in bonds. Nevertheless, the portion which we have read together, the word prison carries with it the sense of being under guard. And with further examination of the passage there, it is revealed to us in verse 6 of our text that Peter, there he was, bound between two soldiers, bound with chains. There Peter was in real need. He was in real need of the earnest prayer of his friends. You know how easy it is when we come to pray. Just to pray those vague prayers. Just pray widely. Pray almost routinely. Just go through the motions. However, one should always be found praying with purpose. Each and every one of us that are saved this morning have a purpose to pray. We have so much to thank the Lord for. Even thanking Him for saving us. Thanking Him for His great plan of redemption, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His great atoning work. Those temporal blessings, a measure of health and strength. Oh, the list is endless. We have much to pray for. The purpose of prayer, though in our text this morning, is for Peter. It is an urgent prayer. There is an urgent need. And you know, Peter is imprisoned and under the threat of his life. He was in real need of prayer. And you know, surely today there's urgent needs all around us. When we consider the land in which we're living, the situation we find ourselves, the situation we find ourselves in, even bringing our families up in this land, our young people, our boys and girls, the situations they're facing, those coming into school, deciding whether they're a boy or a girl, can change any day, and this is deemed acceptable, even though it is contrary to the truth of God's word. Oh, you know, we have much to pray for, men and women. There's urgent needs. You know, is there some brother or sister, perhaps even in this congregation today, that needs prayer? They need your prayer. They need your particular prayer. They need you to be praying for you. You know, I look back at my own life and thank God for a congregation, a people who prayed for me. I was thinking even lately of a dear lady who went to be with the Lord from her own church. She used to come even any Sunday I was there, which as time went on through Bible college became less often. But any time she got opportunities to come home, she'd take me by the arm. She says, Simon, I pray for you. I pray for you. She says, sometimes I've lost my husband, as you know. I'm a widow. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep. You know, I pray for you. And you know, I know that today that I'm the poorer because of that dear saint of God being gone to be with the Lord. And there's no one there to pray for me. You know, is there someone here who needs your prayers? You know your own congregation. You know the needs here. You know, perhaps you've even said, oh, I'm praying for you. But then they just go from your mind. You never note down to remind yourself. Maybe you have good intentions. Maybe you've sent that text messages so common nowadays, praying for you. But then it just leaves your mind. There's little or no depth to your words. You never give them a second thought after committing to pray for them. Oh, there are many purposes which one can pray for. However, we've noticed the purpose of the prayer of this portion was for Peter. For his safe deliverance, or if it wasn't to be so, that he would get the help to endure to the end if he was to be martyred. When one takes time to pray, men and women, they ought to pray with purpose, with sincere and genuine purpose. But not only should we pray with purpose, we should pray with persistence. Oh, it's easy to give up. When we consider the use of the word prayer here in our text, the scriptures, it carries various senses. There's a number of different meanings. You know, over in Isaiah 26 and 16, it signifies there a prayerful whisper. We think of the little children's chorus, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. What great exhortation is it to the weakest saint even this morning? What truth contained even in these simple, simple words? What assurance the Lord even gives to us that he hears the whisper of our cry unto him. But over in Psalm 64 in the verse 1, it speaks there of prayerful meditation. Prayerful meditation. In Jonah 2, verses 1 and 2, it's speaking there when the word prayer is used, of prayerful praise. Jonah was so thankful to the Lord there that the Lord had provided for him. And even that well-known portion in Matthew 6, we read there of private prayer. Private prayer. But nevertheless, when we consider the word as it is used in our text here this morning, it carries with it the sense of a pouring out of prayer, a pouring out of prayer. And just as there's that steady flow of water, as it comes, as you fill from a jug of water into a glass, that's what the sense is carried with the word prayer in our text today. Perhaps you can remember back to a couple of years ago of that dam over in England and how it was overflowing with water. Oh, there was a great danger that it was going to burst. It was flowing over. It was pouring out over the edge, the water. There was so much water and it was going to burst. There was great danger. There's that pouring out of water. And you know, this is what we see here. We see the force of the prayer here was a pouring out in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. But you know, it was more than that. It was without ceasing. It was ongoing. You see, it was that steady flow of intense and ardent prayer with purpose, offered with persistence unto God for the church, for their friend Peter. You know, the Greek words where we get our without ceasing is found only in one other place in the New Testament. And that is over in 1 Peter. Turn with me to it and you'll see for yourself. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 in the verse 8. And above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for fervent charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. This is the only other part of the New Testament where these words without ceasing is translated, only they're translated differently here. And brethren and sisters, surely the fact of the matter is, with regard to this word used in the New Testament twice, only with regard to fervent, persistent charity or love, and the other with fervent, persistent prayer, surely the Holy Spirit has made no mistake that it is with fervent, persistent love that should exist between the saints of God, that should drive us to that place of persistent, fervent prayer, one for the other. You know, the original word indicates that their prayer was earnest, it was fervent, it was persistent. We're reminded of the importance of praying with fervency and persistence also over in James 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Tell me, friends, this morning, are you found praying with persistence? Many people were praying that day in the home of Mary Mark. Maybe you have a wayward son or daughter today. Maybe you have a situation in your home or your life or your family that causes you to pray with purpose, that causes you to pray with persistence. Yet there are many are found not doing so. I want to encourage you today, if you are praying, to pray on. We think of Onesimus this morning, that young man that was brought up in the godly home of Philemon. You know, it was said of him, he departed for a season, and then he was converted forever. Don't give up hope this morning, but rather pray on for your loved ones. Pray with persistence, with the knowledge that in his perfect time, he doeth all things well. There are many, while giving testimony of their saving, of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, what do they so often do? They recall someone who prayed for them. A mother, a father, a Sunday school teacher. But they recall someone who prayed for them, who didn't give up, but prayed through for their salvation. Oh, there's no need, friends, this morning. No need too great or too small, secular or sacred, that we may not ask the Lord Jesus about. We ought to pray with purpose. We ought to pray with persistence. But note also, we should pray in public. How should we pray? Pray in public. And you know, we have noted already that there are a number of ways in which the word prayer is used, how we can offer prayer, that prayerful whisper, prayerful meditation, prayerful praise, private prayer. However, this is one such ways in which we should pray, and that is the public place of prayer. I believe this extends even to the very attendance of the prayer meeting. You know, there are many today that don't feel comfortable praying audibly, yet you can still come to the prayer meeting and be very much part of the church family there. We think of Hannah, how she prayed. How she prayed, how she wept sore. Oh, her heart was broken. Yet the Lord heard her pray. The Lord heard her cry. In addressing the subject of prayer in the prayer meeting, the public place of prayer, it is important to include what it shouldn't be, what it should not be. You know, the prayer meeting shouldn't be a place that we attend just to get the news, just to get the lowdown, the gossip of the world outside. Rather, it should be that gathering together of true believers. Those who can pray together openly and honestly, one for another. A place where we can pray with confidence and in confidence. A place of great unity amongst the family of God. I was taking a prayer meeting on one occasion, and I remember about 10 minutes into the service, this young man came in through the door. You know, he wasn't dressed as we would perhaps deem suitable for a prayer meeting, or as what we would maybe ordinarily, how we would dress to come to the prayer meeting. You know, I was intrigued, and at the close of the meeting, it was on his way out, he spoke to me, and he apologized for his late arrival. He apologized for how he was dressed. Oh, he was so apologetic. And yet in the course of conversation, how things progressed, we soon realized this young man was only saved. He was only saved for 3 weeks. And you know, he had run into problems and difficulties during his work. And he wasn't able to get home to get changed to come to the prayer meeting. But he was passing by the church and he had to get to the prayer meeting. He didn't want to miss it. And brethren and sisters this morning, that's what the prayer meeting should be to us. Oh, perhaps you're saved for many years and time has went on. You're struggling even with your prayer life at home, never mind to be out in the prayer meeting. Oh, when you are saved, you are so excited and so exuberant for the Lord. Oh, going on well with him. Every gospel mission you were there, any meeting you were there. Oh, maybe some Christian along the way has discouraged you and maybe tramped on your toes and, oh, I couldn't be bothered going there, I don't want to. You're using an excuse. But friends, you know, if you're truly saved, the place of prayer should be a place that you never want to miss. I have to confess, I was rebuked by that young convert. I know it is important to have order and appropriate dress when we come to the house of the Lord, but Is there not many today? Don't bother attending just because their day didn't work out as they planned. Not this young man. He came as he was, rather than miss out of the blessing that was to be had in the public place of prayer. Regrettably, the public place of prayer is a place that is most often neglected. This gathering was the coming together of the Church of God to pray in Mary Mark's house here in Acts chapter 12. They came to pray for pray with purpose, pray with persistence. That outpouring of prayer without ceasing was made. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. And you know, the word church here in our text comes from the Greek word referring to, or ecclesia, referring to being called out, meaning to be called out or set apart. And my friends, this morning, that's what the true church of God is. It's a people who have been called out after the Lord, who have been set apart to follow him. A group of true believers, true disciples, followers of Christ. You know, there are those today who gather together on occasion in this land of ours, of all faiths and none, claiming that this great act of unity will lead to a great work being accomplished for the Lord. Yet what utter folly and foolishness it is. The only unity which the Lord will bless is that of his true church, the true body of Christ, those that are truly separated unto the gospel. Those believers who know what it is to sacrificially follow after the Lord. We think of the spoken words of our Savior in Luke chapter 9 in the verse 23. And he said unto them, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, and as Paul writes his epistle to the Galatians in the opening verse of Galatians 1 and verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. The word again comes up, the churches, referred to here, speaking to those that are separated, those that are set apart, a true body of Christ, a body of true believers. The same group which we read of here in our text this morning in Acts chapter 12, a church that met together to pray publicly, without ceasing, for their brother in the Lord, Peter. The true church of God has a great opportunity to meet together in the public place of prayer. We have a granted reception with our Heavenly Father, which is so often neglected. What a blessing it is to consider the result of what happened at this great prayer meeting. When this church met together here in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, when they prayed with purpose, with persistence, in the public place of prayer, look down and see for yourself, friends, there in verse 11, what happened. See it for yourself. The Lord answered prayer. And when Peter was come to himself, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. You know what joy should fill our hearts this morning. As believers, as we consider in all reality the great power of prayer, how God answers prayer according to his own sovereign plan and purpose for his will and for his divine glory. Thomas Watson said of this portion, the great Puritan commenting on this passage of Scripture, that the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we should never, ever underestimate the power of prayer. If we truly believe that there is power in prayer, we will give it its rightful place in our lives. We'll be found praying as we should, having great confidence in him who answers prayers according to his perfect will and for our good. Trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to our heart even this morning.